So this morning, we come to a significant milestone within the life of our church. And we're going to be talking about mission this morning. And this is a special moment for us as a church and as individuals as well. And when we talk about milestones, we are quite literally following God's guidance, God's direction. We don't want human milestones, amen. We want what God is directing us to and bringing us to. And we're going to focus on framing out mission, what it means to us in this season. Today is a day for change. Who loves change? One person in the room put their hand up. And it was like a faith-filled hand up. It was... Yeah, for some of us, change is exciting and exhilarating. For others, it's a moment of, why? Why? Why change? I like things how they are. You know, our challenge for all of us in our faith is to understand, first of all, God doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God doesn't change. But you know who he calls to change? Us. He calls us to change, to become more like him. You know, we're called to change in response to his guidance and direction. We're called to reject the notion that change is optional. Ever met anyone where they've lived their life where change is optional? What I'm about to say, you'd be like, oh yeah, I actually know that person. They're the person who gets a little bit older, becomes really set in their ways, and nothing can move them. Quite literally, by taking a step out, it could change their whole life, but nothing. Because change is optional. That's not who God's called us to be. That's not who we are, amen? In faith, I speak it to all of us, that's not who we are. Change is not optional for us. It's important. We're called to be change instigators in our own lives. God gives us the power, but guess who instigates it? It's us. We got to step out in faith and do. You know, I'm not talking about being people who change like the wind. Ever met anyone like that before? Somebody who just changed like the wind? Could be a new diet, new fad, new church. We're not called to change like the wind. We're called to change with his guidance and direction. You know, many people will change things out of desperation to escape reality. We're not of that pattern. We're changing to step into the promises that God has for us. Change is good if change is God. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. When we talk about mission for us as a church, you know, for most of you who are here today, for many people here today, your calling to mission started because God saved you, God called you, he's refined you, he's renewed you, and he continues to do so. But we didn't stop there. Those who took up the call for mission, we didn't stop there. That wasn't enough. These truths took deeper roots in our lives because in faith we agreed and we became actioned of what he has called us to, both individually and collectively as the body of Christ. We are being formed in him. Amen. Anyone being formed in him this morning? Put your hand up if that's true for you today. Amen. So we're so convinced as a church that God has called us to change that we've been changing things within our church from the beginning of this year, specific things. We've started two new discipleship groups for leaders. Why? Because we want to see disciples raised up, released into what God has called them to. You know, we've restructured how we're releasing and raising disciples to be ready for what God has mandated. We're not going to get there and then go, oh yeah, we should do something about that. No, we need to change now so that we can step into everything that God has for us. So what does that mean for us today around the framing of mission? You know, since 2015, our mission statement has been, we exist to care for our community and connect with every individual and their families to God, to see all loved, reached, included, and restored. You know, biblical truths. For those of you who are wondering where those biblical truths come from, Titus 2:11 and Romans 5:18 is where they come from. And this has been a journey that God has been leading us on, has had us on. It's something that he has done in us. It's something he's done through us. And I want to be clear today, we're not throwing that out. Just like our yearly vision, it stays with us. It stays in us. It helps form and shape who God has called us to be, what he's called to do in us and through us. It doesn't take away. It's added to who we are as the people of God. It's given us an understanding of what we stand for. It's given us an understanding of our relationship with God, and our grace is to be shared to all people, the same grace that he's given to us. But there is a change taking place this morning. There is a wind of change blowing through our church. And one of the roles that I have as pastor is to discern what God is doing within us and where he's leading us to as a church, and then to take it to the elders. And that's been our exact process over this last little while. You know, over the past 2 years, I have been listening and grappling with what God's directions are for us as a church. Now, when I share this morning, it's going to become very apparent how deeply I've been processing and discerning not only what God's doing in this season, but what God is doing and what we're going to be stepping into the future as well, where we're going. What I'm about to share, let's be clear about this today. What I'm about to share is not a faith-filled statement for the future. It's not optimism tinged with hope. Today is identifying the longitude and latitude of where God has brought us for the next season. It's an identification moment. What I'm about to share with you today, for many of you, will not be a shock, because you know this is who we are. You hear it and you'll be like, this resonates deeply. This is who we are resolved to be. You know, today is a bold, courageous statement to us and to our city. So today, the first thing is this. Firstly, a new statement of mission to guide us, and 3 points to reinforce the guidance that God's brought to us. So first one, a statement of mission. We are a spirit-filled church devoted to loving God and sharing the good news of Jesus. And we're going to break it down so that we can understand it and process it, because I want us to get to the end of this morning and understand, I get it. I get why this is important for us in this season. One more time. We're a spirit-filled church devoted to loving God and sharing the good news of Jesus. Take it in. Breathe. Breathe through it. The 3 points to support this mission statement, this statement of mission: spirit-filled, commissioned, wholly devoted. Spirit-filled. Three simple things, 3 profound things. Spirit-filled, commissioned, wholly devoted. So let's talk about spirit-filled this morning. You know, we truly believe that as people who follow Jesus, that God has called us to be spirit-filled. Now, we believe that in John 14, that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as a gift to those who love him and keep his commands. Biblical. We believe that Jesus told his disciples to wait for the gift. We believe that the gift was of the Spirit was revealed in the upper room in Acts 2, like a mighty, mighty rushing wind. What seemed to be like fire rested on each of them as they spoke in other tongues. You know, God has been in the habit of filling people with his Spirit since the beginning of time. And I'm not just talking about the breath of life that was breathed into Adam in Genesis 2:7, but the Spirit of God that brings power and authority and healing and miracles and prophecy and tongues and interpretation and wisdom and knowledge and faith and discernment. God's been filling people with His Spirit for thousands of years. You know, in Exodus 31:3, it says this, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills." See, God fills his believers with the Spirit for purpose, amen? It's not just for a moment. It's for purpose. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, so the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Luke 1:15. "For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit before he is born." John the Baptist, this is who he's talking about, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit for purpose before he was born. Take it in for a moment. If the Spirit of God fills spirits, baby John had a spirit in the womb, and the Holy Spirit filled him within his mother's womb. Think about that for a moment. Luke 1:41, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Luke 1:67, Zechariah was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, being filled with the Spirit is for purpose, to be empowered for the purposes of God. Let me tell you, half the things that God calls each of us to do, if we didn't have the Spirit of God in us, impossible, right? Impossible. In Acts 1 verse 8, the beginning of it says this, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You know, being filled with the Spirit for purpose, just like Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." He was filled with power and he fulfilled purpose that God had put in front of him. The Spirit empowers disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim salvation to those who don't know him yet. There are people in your world that need you to be filled with the Spirit of God, empowered, because they don't know him yet. You are going to declare the goodness, the love of God to them, and they will hear it. They will hear of the kingdom. They will hear of God's love, the salvation that he has for them, and they will know him. Amen. So we say it clearly. We're a Spirit-filled church commissioned by Jesus himself to join him in the good work that he started. Leading us to our next point this morning, commissioned. You know, we've been talking about this in depth for many years now, but there's this fresh moment where there's a deeper understanding that's coming into play, that each of us have been commissioned by Jesus. Each of us commissioned by Jesus. It says in Matthew 28:19-20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples, empowering them, empowering us to go into the places that he's called us to be and share the good news of Jesus. You know, we learn as we read these scriptures, as we lean into the truth that he, Jesus, has promised his Spirit so that we could be empowered to fulfill the commission. You know, Acts 1 verse 8, the rest of the scripture that I didn't read just before, says it goes on to say, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. It's Jesus who has commissioned you. It's Jesus who's called you and commissioned you. Not me, not someone else in your world. We might send you, but you have been called to go by Jesus himself. And today we're declaring that we own this declaration. We own his declaration personally and collectively. There is a calling upon us. There is a calling upon his bride, his body, his holy temple, to take the good news of Jesus and share it to the ends of the earth. Some people are, I don't want to leave and go to the ends of the earth. That's fine. Can you go to your neighbors? That's fine. Can you go to the end of the street? That's fine. Can you go to the end of the suburb? For those who are a bit more like excited, end of the region, end of the state, end of the nation, to our global nations and neighbors and to the ends of the earth. Wherever God has called you to tread to fulfill the commission, let's collectively say yes. We're commissioned. We're commissioned. You know, each of us will have our feet tread in different places. Each of us has opportunities that are unique to our lives. I can't go where you're called to go. You can't go where I'm called to go. But collectively, our feet will tread in the places that God has called us to go. You know, the guiding truth is that we are commissioned, ordained, saved, set apart to invite others into the kingdom of heaven, to share the love, the grace, the freedom, the forgiveness of salvation that has been made available through Jesus. It was through his work on the cross, the grave, and his resurrection on the third day. Amen. We're commissioned because of that power that was outworked. You are commissioned by him. I'll say it until you want to hear it. You are commissioned by him. Now, we're going to give some sound support and discipleship this year. You know, even this week, I've sat with Jeff this week, and we've talked about how we're going to scale our passion for witnessing in our homes and our schools and our unis and our workplaces and our communities into the end of the earth. And so if you might be like, oh, I'm not called to be an evangelist, maybe not, but you're called to and commissioned to share the good news and love of Jesus. There are people in this space that are called to be evangelists. We're gonna lend you some support and encouragement and discipleship. But to all of us, we're commissioned to go to the people that God has called us to go to. Lastly, this morning, we are wholly devoted. Wholly devoted. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew 22, 36 to 39. Someone says to him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And if you want a great message on what it means to be wholly devoted, Pastor Bevan shared a message in October of last year, October 19th, I think it was. And that message about being wholly devoted is available on our website. But this morning, I want to encourage you. We are called. This passage of Scripture that I just read, we're called. The Scripture calls us, conveys to us that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of ourselves. Not just part of ourselves. Not just our Sunday selves. Not just our Easter selves. Not just our Christmas selves. All of ourselves. Amen. You know, this commandment is often referred to as the all command. Why there is this emphasis? It's this emphasized declaration of the word all. It's spoken three times by Jesus in this one passage of Scripture. Shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. You know, within this passage of Scripture, we find that we are called to be wholly devoted. Not H-O-L-Y. W-H, wholly devoted to everything that God has called us to do for him. we find our all of us together coming under this scripture saying, you know, we are all wholly devoted. A declaration that emphatically leaves no space for divided affections or loyalties. No space for divided affection or loyalties. Can I encourage you, if you're in a wrestle at the moment, this is God speaking to you. If you're in a space where your affections are being divided between the world and God, in a space where your affections are being divided, should I do that or should I stay here? Should I pursue that relationship or should I find someone who loves Jesus? If you're in a wrestle right now for where your affections are focused, if it doesn't fit into the all statements of all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your mind, if it doesn't fit into it, you've got a question. Is this God's best for me? See, this truth is underscored. And I just listen to this for a moment. You would have heard this scripture in the last 6 months. When we talk about not having divided affections or loyalties, this truth is underscored when Jesus spoke in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. See, we love the Lord with all of our heart. We love our neighbors with all of our hearts. We love ourselves with all of God's love that he's shown to us. Amen. You know, to love in this way, to love in the way that there's this all, it goes beyond feeling and it goes beyond preference. Feeling and preference is for most of us, would probably be, I just want to do things that make me feel better. Anyone? That's our natural human feelings and preference. But to do what God's called us to do, we need to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind. It requires all of our focus to go beyond. It calls us to a place of conviction that leads to empowerment. Conviction and empowerment through the Holy Spirit. Convictions that chooses Jesus' ways over the desires of self and affection for the world. A conviction that loves our Creator and our Savior. A conviction that realigns our passion, hunger, feelings, and thoughts. A conviction that embraces renewal of the heart. A conviction that learns to grow and protect what God has put in us. How do we grow in might? How do we grow in power? In the same way that we grow our muscles. We start light. We learn that through exercise, we can begin to flex our muscles more than we used to. Our power becomes greater. But I want to encourage you, it's the same way in the things of the Spirit. Learn to exercise your spiritual muscles, your spiritual heart. Watch what he does when you exercise it. Your strength of devotion to him will grow. See, our hearts and our faces, I speak this over, we're set towards him with full devotion. Like, oh, Pastor, I mess up sometimes. We all do, amen. But we're setting our hearts towards him with full, whole devotion. We're growing in it and we're committed to it. So where does this lead us today? Where does all of this lead us today? Well, it leads us into not just a new season, but a new era for us as a church. This year, I say this knowing the other things that are coming through right there, this year is a big year for us. We are stepping into change and growing up as a church like never before this year. I'm going to stop myself from saying too much because I'll say other things that are for other days. But this is an opportunity for us this year to flourish and grow into what Jesus is putting before us. You know, I feel strongly this morning, even as I was just focusing, spending some time this morning with the Lord, that there is about to be a tidal wave of destiny. I'm not talking about the church right now. I'm talking about you. There is about to be a tidal, for individuals in this place, there is about to be a tidal wave of destiny with what we're stepping into as a church. See, in the same way that the church is entering a new era of spiritual breakthrough, today you are being released into a new season. you're being released into a new era of your relationship with God and what He's doing within the local church. Destinies are being awakened this morning. Destinies are being released this morning. Hearts are being set on fire or reignited this morning. If that's you this morning, just close your eyes before the Lord. I'm just believing that there's going to be a spiritual transaction this morning. Holy Spirit, for every heart that's just quieting itself before you right now, Lord Jesus. We're all at different journeys on our walk with you. Different milestone moments of our walks with you. People have been following you for a long time. People have been following you for a short time. Regardless of where you're on with your journey with Him today, don't discount yourself. Destiny has been released into your heart this morning. You're Spirit-filled, commissioned, wholly devoted. Holy Ghost, I pray for every heart that's open to you this morning as their face turns to you, Lord. We pray that the Spirit of God empowers us to step into this season. The Spirit of God empowers us to step into the promises that you have for us. Holy Spirit, may we look back on this day and say, that was the day. That was the day when there was a shift. That was a milestone marker. May they talk about us in the future, because this day we chose to step into the promises that you have for us. May they rejoice that we were the ones who said, I'll go. I'll listen. I'll take the guidance. I'll take the direction. I want everything that you've got for me, Lord, with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I pray for every single one of us. Let your kingdom come this morning, Lord God. Let your will be done, Lord Jesus. I pray that even as we take this declaration of mission, Holy Spirit, let it just reverberate within us. Let it reverberate within us over this week, Lord, over these months, Lord Jesus. Holy Ghost, may your goodness and mercy fall on every single one of us, Father. Holy Ghost. You can open your eyes for a moment. You know, it would be completely irresponsible of me this morning. I can talk about all these things and the goodness and the love of God and how He loves every single person. It would be completely irresponsible for me not to actually ask the room, is there anybody who wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Let me talk about it briefly. God loved the world so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus. Walked sinless in the world. Went to the cross. Took on the sins of the world. The punishment that we deserve for our sin, went to the grave, rose again on the third day. God's miraculous power raised Him. Why did God do this? Because He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to have a Christless eternity, a godless eternity. He wants us to know Him and be with Him for eternity. And so this morning, you may have been searching for a long time. Maybe you've been trying to find your own way through the world, trying this, trying that, switching like the wind blows you from thing to thing. I got saved when I was in year 10 at school, and let me tell you, my confidence has been unshakable from that very moment. I found Jesus when I was in year 10 at school. My life was going absolutely nowhere fast. Well, it was going somewhere. Prison, but some of my other friends ended up there. They didn't receive Jesus at the moment that they could have when I put my hand up too. Why do I say that? Sliding doors moments, friends. Jesus comes and knocks on your heart, knocks on the door of your heart. So, will you receive me? Will you receive the love that God has for you? You're trying to find love everywhere else, but God wants to hand deliver it as a gift to you through Jesus. So with everyone's eyes closed for just a moment, if that's you, could be watching online this morning, in the room. If you want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, have your sins forgiven, have your whole world changed forever, this is your moment. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. You can put your hand down as soon as you've done it. And you're not really showing me, you're saying to God, yeah, I'm choosing to follow you. I want everything you've got for me. If that's you, why don't you put your hands up this morning? One, two, three. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else to say, see, I need God's love. I need his forgiveness. I need his grace. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is a you and God moment. He's speaking to you today. Just as our eyes are still closed, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment. And maybe you didn't put your hand up. God's not really interested in your hand today. He's interested in your heart. And if you say, I want to know Jesus. I want forgiveness of sin. I want to be with him forever. Just pray the prayer after me this morning. This is your prayer to God. And the whole church is going to join us in praying this prayer. So let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. And anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that God raised you on the third day. I repent of my sin, and from this day, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.